I was planning on presenting in French, but I cannot speak French as quickly as you can, so my presentation would have lasted a very long time if I had. Mariana has distributed copies of what I'm planning on saying, so if there's anything you don't understand, then please look at that, or we can ask and go on from there. As Mariana said, I'm the Executive Director of USISA, which is the membership body in the UK. I also was a founder member of CHITA. The idea was born in an Italian restaurant in Philadelphia, where a number of us went out to dinner and took the then president of Educors out with us. And I was also a member of the UNIS board from 2008 to 2011. So and I continue to ensure that USISA is engaged in UNIS activities. Briefly, what I'm going to talk about is really outline what USISA is, do a little bit on the current situation with higher education in the UK. It's complicated, as you'll find out later. How that translates into sort of current IT issues in the UK, and then look at the global common issues that came out from the CHITA meeting in Anaheim earlier this year. And at that point, I'll hand over to Mariana to talk about the discussions that she and Laurent Flory presented at Anaheim, the CHITA meeting. And then to conclude, I'll just look at the CHITA meeting that we're planning in March, ahead of the USISA conference in March next year. So, very briefly again, USISA is the membership body for UK universities IT people. We have practically 100% membership of all the universities in the UK, and that really gives us a sort of mandate to speak on behalf of the community, to government, to software suppliers, and the like. The advantage of our membership being institutional is that any person from a member can take advantage of our services, come to our events, etc. We also have a number of other membership categories. We have a large body of corporate members, so we have about 100 companies, ranging from sort of Microsoft to quite small specialist technology companies. We support them in a number of ways. One, we help them to understand the sector rather better. So at times, especially around our big conferences, we send them briefings to say, this is what is happening in education in the UK. This is how we think it impacts on IT services, to help them have a good conversation with us, so they're not coming up and saying, oh, yeah, what's the important thing in higher education at the moment in England? We're telling them that ahead, so that they know. We also help represent their interests too in discussions with government and with government agencies. It is all too easy for governments to change policy very, very quickly and expect software suppliers to make those changes in a very short space of time. We help explain to government and the various agencies that development takes a little longer than they might wish, and implementing policy changes at, as we would say in England, at the drop of a hat, or very, very quickly, isn't really feasible. So we argue the case on behalf of our corporate members as much as we do our full members. We also run a training course for our corporate members called How to Sell to Universities. We found that many corporates were just not, didn't understand quite how the sector works. They didn't understand that perhaps the person they were talking to wasn't going to be the budget holder, but would have technical expertise, would make the recommendation. They didn't understand that selling into the university sector in the UK is a long-term process. It's not something you can just sort of say, turn up, sell a product, and go. So that's another area where we help our corporate members. Second body, another group is a category we call affiliates. These are sort of tend to be government agencies. So mentioned the JISC. So the JISC are actually affiliate members of USISA. Our National Statistics Agency, our National Students Admission Service, they're both members of USISA, as are a number of, we also use this category for small colleges in the UK, non-UK universities, so we've got a lot of Irish universities have joined USISA, we have every university in Malta, that's one. Are members of USISA as well. And finally, we have individual membership, which is primarily targeted at people that have left the university sector but wish to maintain an interest. So we have just four people there as individual members. So what USISA does, very simply, two main aims. One is to identify and disseminate best practice. And we do this in a number of ways. We run about 20 events a year, ranging from our largest conference, our main conference, which is held in March, which attracts about 300 delegates, but also has an exhibition of about 70 to 80 companies. So it's not as big as EDUCORS, but it's a reasonable size. That sort of is our largest event, but we go right down to very specialist training events where we're running something just for maybe 16 people on a particular specialist subject. So quite a range of events. We have a system of awards. We have three specific categories, one for staff development, one for innovation, and one for general sort of excellence, where we're looking to demonstrate the contribution that IT services have made to the university. So that we see is another way of getting the good practice that goes on in universities out more into the open and promoted to other people. Because the main benefit of USISA is actually the community and learning from each other. We also have a number of publications. We look to put together case studies, so where a university has solved a particular problem and done well, we'll look to publicise that. Or we'll look to almost run a competition on case studies to get a range of case studies on a particular particular theme, which we may then tie up into something like a best practice guide, so collection of then of case studies. But we also, where we see there are problems that go right across the university sector, we look to help by putting together toolkits. We've done a couple of those, one on the implementation of the service management standard ITIL, and one on information security. That particular one, we found that our auditors of universities were taking more and more interest in the processes around information security in universities, were sort of pushing for universities to adhere to the standard, and so we wrote a toolkit that contains a number of policies and procedures that universities can adopt in order to show that they are compliant to the ISO 27002 standard. So that's the sort of breadth of the work that we do in terms of identifying and disseminating best practice. In terms of the second aim, to inform and support policy-making processes, we have a role that we will respond to consultations from the government. It's a bit complicated in that we have in the United Kingdom, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland have some sort of devolved responsibility. They all have responsibility for higher education in their particular countries, but they have other responsibilities as well. So when we respond to consultations, it might just be from something from the British government. And again, it's not just the Education Ministry that will provide that will issue requests for consultations. We have responded to consultations from the Department of Justice, the Department of Culture, Media and Sport, the Home Office, which I guess is the equivalent of the Minister of Interior, yep. As well as the Department for Education. So quite a broad range in the British government, at the Scottish government, the Welsh government, the Northern Ireland Assembly, the European Union, all produce legislation, all produce consultations that we look out and will respond to. Plus other agencies like the various higher education agencies in the UK and organisations such as Nominet recently did a consultation on domain names that we responded to. So a very broad piece there. Where we can, we try and get involved early and get to talk to government and civil servants at the point where they're considering legislation and get onto steering groups, or we get onto steering groups at the point where people are implementing law. So that is quite a substantial part of what I do, and my colleague Anna Matthews, who I believe some of you will have met, that's the sort of work that we do. As you can imagine, I spend a lot of time talking. I talk to our university members. Obviously, our events provide an opportunity for me to talk to people there. But where I can, I go out and talk to CIOs one-to-one to find out what their issues are and how we can help address them. There are groups of universities within, so all our research intensive universities form one group. There are groups at the other end, again, have common interests, that primarily teaching-based universities have a group. I'll go out and talk to them, really to get a feel for what their issues are and how we can help address them. The corporate members, the liaison that I mentioned there, talk to them, and again, help represent their interests with government. And I've given in the paper a couple of examples of where we've done that. We've talked to the agencies like for student admissions and the statistics agency, but we've negotiated on behalf of our corporate members a sort of a lead time of 18 months before any substantial changes, so that our corporate members then have plenty of time to prepare for those changes. Another example is where we talked to the government when around the implementation of the government's new immigration system. At the start of that conversation, universities were expected to type in all the data directly into the government system. This was data that, of course, universities already had. So we talked to the government and got them to get a data transfer mechanism between the student records systems and their immigration system. Speaking on behalf of the corporate members, we got a specification and time for testing all built in there. So we were arguing there on behalf of our corporate members. Mariana's indicated that we have a formal relationship with the JISC. The JISC is really like a shared services company in the UK. It provides the university network. It provides, it provides a service where procuring material, so digitization material, procurement of e-journals and the like. It provides a number of advisory services on top of that as well. And it has an innovation strand where they're looking to test out new technologies and test out maybe new processes within administration. So it has quite a broad remit. We work together to make sure that we deliver complementary functions so that we're not overlapping. I meet on a regular basis with the director the chief executive officer of the network company, again to make sure that the network continues to deliver what the community wants and provide good services in a cost-effective way. I meet again with the CEO of JISC on a regular basis, but also we have representatives from the JISC on a number of our special interest groups that we have. Obviously somebody from Janet is on our networking group, but also somebody from one of the advisory services is on our group that looks at ERP systems and the like, and there are other links through as well. We help the JISC shape some of their innovation and development work. We have USISA representation on the steering groups for a number of their projects to really help them make sure that the services and the products that they're delivering meet the needs of the university sector. So that probably summarizes the relationship we have at the moment with the JISC. The JISC itself is going through a little bit of a transition at the moment. It used to be centrally funded by government. That is now changing, and they're setting up to become a company that is owned by the university sector. Where we see our role moving forward is to really look at the service catalogue that the JISC have and to help them ensure that it is appropriate, it is delivering the services that the university sector want, and it is doing that in a cost-effective way. So that really summarizes the relationship between ourselves and the JISC. As I mentioned, we have relations with other university bodies. The Admissions Service and the Statistics Agency are two I've mentioned. We also have a leadership organisation in the UK, and that organisation runs two courses for ourselves, which is on leadership, management and leadership. So we have a programme called the Future Leaders Programme, which takes those at deputy level and gives them leadership training. And I'm pleased to say that that course has provided probably about a 50% success rate in those future leaders becoming directors as CIOs in the future. There are also a number of other sector bodies, so any discipline, any piece of area of work that in universities has its own professional body, so there's one for finance directors, one's for estates and so on. We work together with those to again look at common areas to understand what their issues are, to help them understand what IT can deliver in their areas, and where we can we'll look to develop common publications. So we're, one example of that is we're looking at putting together a toolkit for design of learning spaces that will help estates directors understand what needs to go into a new building, and to help IT directors to understand the challenges that those that are putting the building up or refurbishing a building are facing. So try to join bits of the universities up where I'm sure you appreciate not everybody talks to IT and not everybody talks to finance, etc. So joining things up within universities as well. I mentioned that higher education policy is dictated by the four different governments. So the English universities, their higher education policy comes from the British government. Scotland, the Scottish government, Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland Assembly, and in Wales, the Welsh government. So you have a range of different arrangements in those four countries. So in England, the British government wanted to open up the sector to more competition. So they decided that the best way to do that was to try and move to a market-driven sector. So they had the idea that they would introduce variable fees up to £9,000. What happened was that every university thought that's a good idea, we'll increase our fees to £9,000, so there's very little variation there. In Scotland, The Scottish Government likes to encourage Scottish-based students to study in Scotland. So for Scottish students studying in Scotland, it costs them nothing. However, students from outside Scotland going to Scotland in other countries in the UK, it costs them up to £9,000 a year. So you have something that's very, very different. In Wales, the Welsh Assembly wants to encourage people to go to higher education wherever, and so subsidises the students there, wherever they're studying in the UK. But again, the fees go up to £9,000 for non-Welsh students attending Welsh universities. In Northern Ireland, they charge a lower fee for Northern Ireland students, but a higher one for other students from the UK. So very, very complicated. That has led to some interesting movements across borders within the UK. Seeing more students studying, obviously, in Scotland, from Scotland, who wouldn't if it was free? But also you've seen more students actually leaving Wales and coming over to England to study, and going to Scotland to study. So there's some interesting movements there. Obviously, when that increase in fees was introduced, there was a dip in numbers of undergraduates. That number has now stabilised, it's come back up again. So most universities have now achieved their targets for this year. Some probably still won't have. We've seen as one impact of the policy a decline in some areas, notably in postgraduate students, in mature students, those over 25 years old. That's gone down. We have some interesting challenges around international students. Our education ministry is giving the message out saying, please come to the UK. To students beyond the European Union. Our Home Office, our Minister of Interior, is saying we want to clamp down and stop more people coming from overseas. So we have an interesting conversation within government where the two departments are perhaps giving different messages. The unfortunate thing for the education sector is that the message saying Britain is not welcome is the one that tends to be heard more. And so universities are having some real challenges in getting international students into the UK. The funding for teaching and research hasn't increased. It's going to stay, student fees will stay at 9,000. They won't increase as with inflation. And so the funding in real terms is decreasing. And obviously that is having an impact on universities and having an impact on IT. There's a national drive towards efficiencies and modernisation. Some of this has come from the current economic situation, and some of it has come from just a sort of real concern that universities aren't operating as efficiently as they might. And so looking at sort of streamlining some of the operations and modernising some of the operations. So those are the sort of general higher education issues. They translate into a range of current IT issues that we have. Before I go on to talk about these in a little more detail, USISA, like EDUCORS, like ZKI and Cordit in Australia, we all run surveys where we try and find out what the current issues are for IT directors. We've changed ours a little now, in that rather than trying to tell everybody about the things that IT directors are worried about, we've tried to look at strategic challenges for university IT directors, because we think that actually there are a number of factors that go into a successful service, and what we've done through this strategic challenges document is try and identify all those particular contributory factors to a successful service. What that has done is highlight how complex actually delivering a service and delivering a successful mission is. And it's also identified that there are a number of factors that contribute to that success that are outside the control of the CIO. So things that we can't control still contribute to the success of the university mission. Going on to the IT issues, obviously with a decrease in budgets, we've seen a move to what I've termed a blended delivery model. So not everything is provided by the IT service. We're seeing more provided by external companies. Certainly in the UK, a lot of people have moved their student email out to Google or to Microsoft with Live at Edu and now Office 365 services. The reason they've done that isn't necessarily to save cost. It is to improve the service. With Live at Edu and Google Mail, students were then getting gigabytes of storage, which universities just couldn't really afford to do. Another reason is that we've done has been to free up resource internally. So again, taking that student email example, the person or people that looked after student email are now free to work on areas perhaps aligned with teaching and learning or with research, more in tune with the university's mission. And another example would be perhaps to free up where there are skills shortages within the university. So I'm aware of a number of universities that have SAP as their finance system, but they cannot attract people with SAP skills, so they moved the SAP solution out to a managed service. We see some shared services in the UK. The challenge for the government has been very keen on shared services and has put some into central government. This has, the reason for that is that they identified that those central government's departments were not delivering a good service and it was costing an awful lot of money. So actually to introduce a shared service across, say, the prison service or across the health service delivered efficiencies because they were delivering a very poor quality service at a very expensive cost. The difficulty with universities are that each university is autonomous. It doesn't receive most of the funding does not come from government now. They are all in competition with each other, and so we've seen very few shared services emerge in the university sector. There are two examples. One is a shared data centre in the northeast of Scotland, shared by four universities. Another is a shared service desk, which again is shared by four universities. So we may see more of these grow, but they're coming from very small beginnings and will grow probably from the bottom up, rather than the government approach, which tends to be top down. Let's provide a service which we hope everybody will use. The efficiencies and modernization agenda continues to be high on the list, looking at new ways of doing things, new ways of delivering services. IT departments are fairly key in this, not necessarily because of the efficiencies that can be delivered through new IT systems, but also because they lead on business process change methodologies like Lean, like Six Sigma. So they would introduce new processes into the university through that method, which would actually generate efficiencies on their own right. So IT has a key role in that area. Finally, regulation. I'm sure your government asks you questions to demonstrate how well the sector is performing. Our government does the same, but so do a number of other agencies. We're looking to, in the UK, to streamline and to make that sort of regulation piece more efficient. We did a survey and found that there, in total, are something like 550 different reports that go out of universities to various agencies. We're looking to try and make sure that we have one set of information where other agencies can source that. So a challenging and fairly major project. Okay, one of the benefits of CHITA is that it gets national associations together. It talks about the common issues, the issues that are important in those given countries. I'm going to pause a little bit now and hand over to Mariana to talk a little bit about the issues that she and Laurent raised at the CHITA meeting, and then I'll go back to look at the common issues.
Je passe au français très rapidement. Donc, on s'est réunis dans le cadre de CHITA et du COS. La France était représentée par Laurent Fleury, d'Auxir, et par moi-même de l'AMU. Nous avons exposé quels étaient les principaux intérêts pour participer à cet échange d'associations des systèmes d'information collectifs. Bien évidemment, il y a la question de la mutualisation qui est arrivée en premier. Comment on peut faire en sorte que les travaux ensemble nous aident à avoir des résultats plus efficaces et moins coûteux. La question d'identifier des innovations, trouver des convergences avec les autres pays et les autres associations qui travaillent pour le même domaine et faire partie de les communautés d'experts pour échanger autour de ces questions. Nous avons également évoqué, ça c'était quelque chose d'assez novateur et peut-être assez difficile à mettre en place, mais qui nous semblait important et qui c'est aussi une des priorités de CHITA, c'était les échanges de personnel. Donc c'est un projet qui n'est pas encore en place, mais qui pourrait se développer et dans lequel je pense les universités françaises auraient beaucoup à gagner. Donc CHITA, nous avons eu cette réunion institutionnelle avec les représentants des organisations de mutualisation et EDUCOS. Il y aura une prochaine réunion l'année prochaine dans le cadre d'EDUCOS 2014, mais aussi dans la prochaine conférence de USAISA, et Peter pourra vous dire plus à ce sujet. On envisage faire une réunion institutionnelle et une réunion avec les établissements des différents pays pour qu'ils puissent partager et échanger autour des sujets qui les concernent. Dans les cadres de la réunion de USAISA, ce sera autour de la recherche. Je vous enverrai plus d'informations à ces sujets avec les détails, les dates, les informations. Et si vous souhaitez être impliqué, vous pourrez bien évidemment participer. L'idée étant qu'on puisse organiser une petite délégation d'établissements pour participer à cette réunion qui aura lieu au mois de mars à Brighton, donc pas très loin de la France. Je laisse à Peter vous expliquer un peu plus sur cette journée et sur les objectifs généraux de CHITA.
Okay, so as you might have picked out, there was a number of common issues. Certainly the service delivery. A lot of people are moving to the blended model. A lot of people are looking at shared services. Some will have shared services forced upon them, I think, in the model that I sort of talked about our government trying to do. One thing that was common was that senior university management don't understand cloud, and they don't understand what it is, what the risks are, and what it can deliver. That was coming out as a clear message across all the associations, I think, that were represented there. Another common issue was identity management and information security. Again, trying to get that blend of securing the information that is sensitive against universities being open and engaging is an interesting challenge that many universities are struggling with and are looking for solutions to. Looking for solutions. Research was very much a common issue. Supporting research, the volume of research data, securing it appropriately, Making best use of that data and research is also another issue. Certainly in the UK, our research funders are looking for all outputs from research to be openly available to everybody, which is an interesting challenge in trying to marry that up with some of the requirements of the publishers of the world and the sort of academic desire to publish in well-known journals. Support of high-performance computing in support of research, again, is another particular challenge that surfaced. And everybody is sort of suffering under the sort of current global economic situation at the moment. Even the Australian contingent, who have actually been fairly well insulated from the worldwide problems at the moment, are starting to feel the effects of the worldwide recession, I want to call it that, and are starting to look at ways of making efficiencies as a result of service of budget cuts and so on. Now, the Cheetah meeting highlighted areas of common concern, and we recognise through the Cheetah meeting that actually there's a lot more scope for sharing because those problems are common across the world. There are opportunities to collaborate and to work together and to share resources that may help address that. Certainly those first two point out, we recognise at USISA that senior management didn't really get clouds. They were being approached by salesmen saying, oh, the cloud is the answer, without really understanding that. So we've written a briefing paper on cloud computing, which is targeted at helping senior managers understand what cloud is and help them get a better understanding of what it can do for their organizations. I've mentioned the information security toolkit. We're about to revise that with the change in the international standard, so we think that could probably be about a year's project, but certainly the current information security toolkit is there and is free for you to use. One area where I think Europe does very well is in establishing standards and looking at data exchange. Mariana mentioned Eurocris as one particularly good example of that. Talking to delegates in America, they don't have anything like the Bologna process, which sort of aims to sort of get a sort of standard approach and standard understanding to higher education across Europe. They don't really have anything comparable in the States, so you don't necessarily have that sort of guarantee that a degree from one university has the same sort of value as that in another. Which I found that was a very interesting perspective to come across from the States. Research data storage, some of this is delivered on a discipline basis. Some of disciplines are very good at having international storage. Other disciplines struggle, universities and countries struggle with this, and whilst it might be very optimistic to hope that there'll be a global solution to research data storage across the world, I certainly think that this is an area that we can learn from each other. And finally, examples from best practice from individual universities. We are all struggling with much the same problems. And it's good to, I think, get out and talk to each other to understand those problems and to find out what the solutions are. I was very pleased to see a large French delegation at EDUCORS. I'd encourage you to, again, make use of that to see what is happening in the United States and beyond. UNIS provides a very good opportunity to see what is happening in Europe. And USISA, if you want to see what is happening the other side of La Manche, then please feel free to come over to USISA at our conferences there. Most of our material is openly available for you to look at, so feel free to browse the website. The Cheetah meeting at EDUCORS recognised that there's opportunities to compare IT services in the countries. discussion there focused on core data sets, but that doesn't really necessarily mean that that is the only way of comparing by getting everybody to fill in the same set of data. Most countries carry out their own sort of benchmarking, and the UNIS benchmarking workforce has demonstrated that it is perfectly possible to compare using different data sets to compare like with like. However, there are challenges, of course, with different education models in different countries. So some of the talk around CHITA was not just about using the data that is collected, but to look to develop a number of maturity indexes, to maybe look at processes and how mature organizations are in being able to respond to change, for example, and looking at deployment indices to see how well any given technology is embedded into a particular university. So I think that benchmarking work will grow and will maybe get something where we can have truly international comparators, so we can measure ourselves against maybe other countries or against other universities within other countries. The CHITA meeting also talked about staff exchange. They were initially talking about maybe long-term exchange, people perhaps going to other universities for 6 months to a year. We also highlighted the success of the Erasmus scheme for staff, where certainly in the UK there are a number of universities that are taking advantage of exchanging staff just for a week to get a better understanding of how other systems work and different ways of solving similar problems. The CHITA meeting also picked out that whilst we can achieve a fair amount via email, there's nothing like a face-to-face meeting. And so it is proposed that there will be a second CHITA meeting in the year, probably based around the USISA conference in March, where we'll look, the representatives of associations will look to progress some of those benchmarking and staff exchange issues that we discussed earlier. But we also recognise that there are perhaps more opportunities to get together and get university bodies together to talk about common issues, to hear about solutions to some of those common problems. And so what we're proposing is that there will be a sort of two-part CHITA meeting just ahead of the USISA conference, so on Tuesday the 25th of March, where the first part will be the sort of formal bit, which will be restricted probably to the representatives of associations like Mariana, myself, and so on, where we'll discuss that business. But the afternoon will be a session that will be focusing on topics related to supportive research, and what I'm looking to do, and putting the program for that together now. I would certainly welcome input from a French university to hear about some of the ways that you're supporting research, perhaps in collaboration with others. So Mariana and I, along with Michele Manelli from Cineca, have been talking about this idea for a number of months now. So this is starting to come to fruition. So we hope to get input from a French university, we hope to get input from Italian university, plus presentations from other universities as well. And of course, being the day before the USISA conference, we would hope that some of you will come on and stay on and attend the USISA conference afterwards, so you can hear about what's going on in the United Kingdom. Thank you for listening. That is me done. What I've done there is put up a number of the resources there that you might be interested in, the ones that I've mentioned. I would encourage you to go and look at the USISA website, so look at the resources we have there. You may find that they help solve problems that you have in France. So, thank you.